You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR on the Lightning. As always, my name is Jay Trigger. Alongside me, it's Matt Gannon and Michael Wax. Guys, welcome back to the show. Preseason hockey starts tomorrow. I am so excited. I cannot wait. It is finally hockey season. First and foremost, before we get into everything, guys, how you doing today?
I'm doing terrific, Jake. Thank you for asking. Yeah, the hockey season really has kind of snuck up on me. Like, it seems so far away. And then when you just said it, you know, preseason is tomorrow for our first game. So it really did kind of sneak up out of nowhere. It's still, you know, the regular season's still a couple weeks away, but it is right there within grasp. Michael, how are we doing, my friend? Glad to have you back.
Thank you very much. I want to say happy anniversary, guys. Today is the anniversary of Steven Stamkos' 247, one of the greatest goals in franchise history. So great day. You know, it helps that we also won that game against the Stars. So doing well. Excited to talk some hockey. Excited to watch some hockey tomorrow. But again, that's tomorrow and right now.
A fantastic moment in Lightning franchise history. A little more bittersweet right now. Stamkos is now with the Nashville Predators. But, hey, we welcome in everybody here with us live. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you guys enjoy the show. If you're new, we got an action-packed episode for you today. We'll be talking about the Lightning preseason, of course, training camp officially underway. We're talking about some new big announcements that the Lightning made at their kickoff party, about some new renovations happening outside Amalie Arena. We'll be talking about Victor Hedman being officially named the next captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And of course, we'll be talking about everybody's favorite topic as it finally happened. Tampa Bay Lightning now have jersey ads. So we'll get all into it. It should be a lot of fun. If you're new, welcome in. Feel free, drop some comments down below. Join the conversation with us here live. We'll throw your comment up on screen when we get a chance to talk about that. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. If you're a returning viewer, welcome back once again. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Why not? You're already coming back anyway. With that said, though, let's get right into it here as we get set to go on this exciting episode, because hockey season's right around the corner. Training camp officially underway. The Lightning have had a couple of practices. Joe, unfortunately, not with us today. He was out there watching the guys practice in person as well. But guys, for me, just exciting to see the line tweets coming out now. We're starting to see some combinations here. And we have a preseason, our first preseason game tomorrow at Amalie Arena, where the Lightning will be taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. So good to see the guys fully back in action. This is where we start to see what we can expect for the upcoming season here.
Yeah, no, everything's exciting right now. I'm really interested to see, you know, who is, you know, which groups of people are the ones that are going to get cut. You know, I think you get, I'm not sure if there's like a schedule of when you can cut guys or whatever, but I want to see like who the best performers are, you know, in training camp through the preseason, who the standout players are, you know, in these preseason games, and who kind of are the last guys to get cut, who gets put on, you know, the taxi squad, if you will. It's a really exciting time. Like we've been kind of going on the last couple of weeks about, you know, these big name prospects. I don't know if you can really call them big name prospects, but, you know, exciting prospects in the Lightning organization, you know, an excitement that we haven't really felt in a couple of years or so. It really has been, you know, an exciting, I keep overusing that word exciting, but that's really what it is, an exciting, you know, group of prospects that we have coming up. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how these preseason games play out. I'm sure I'm not the only one that falls victim to putting way too much stock into preseason games and preseason performances. But just I can't wait to watch, you know, official, even kind of Lightning hockey, even if they are exhibition games, just really can't wait to see who the standout players are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we saw the Lightning release their preseason roster about a week ago at this point, I think. It was definitely definitely more than like 4 or 5 days ago because it was before media day. But they already made two cuts. I love how they released the roster and then like 20 minutes later, they're like, actually, these two guys actually got cut from the preseason roster already. So really excited to see a lot of the guys. There are some guys that I'm really excited for, even if the prospect pool isn't one that's like hype with names specifically. But there are guys, whether they're coming from the OHL, the AHL, NCAA, if they're coming from overseas, their guys are really excited to like see them play with some of the mainstays. I think they could be really big impact players. Overall, very excited. I know that's a word that we've used a lot, but very excited to see what training camp and preseason is going to bring.
Yeah, and as the training camp rolls on, as you guys kind of talked about, we'll see more and more cuts. The cuts we're going to see early on in this training camp are guys you expect not to make the roster, guys that are be playing down for the crunch or for the Solar Bears as well. By the way, if you're wondering what the preseason schedule is, here it is real quick one more time. First game, obviously, tomorrow against Carolina at 7 p.m. at Amalie Arena, and then the Lightning will head to Orlando at the Kia Center, and we'll take on the Florida Panthers there. It's a tradition the Lightning have done for a long time now, where they play one preseason game down in Orlando. That game's always a ton of fun. 27th, they'll be at Amalie Arena against Nashville. And then on the 28th, a back-to-back. Why are we having back-to-back games even in the preseason? I mean, come on now. But back-to-back there on the 28th, they'll be in Nashville for that game. Our own Michael Wax, he's going to be there covering that game for us as well. So we'll have a lot to talk about for that one. The September 30th, Lenny will be taking on the Florida Panthers back in Sunrise, and then October 2nd, last home game of the preseason, again against Florida, and then in Carolina on October 4th is the final game of the preseason. So there's your preseason schedule. As we go on, you'll see more and more of what the roster is going to look like. Early on here, probably get to see a lot of the new guys. Should be a lot of fun as it rolls on and we start to see more and how guys are kind of developing with the lines. Of course, we'll talk all about that right here on this show. Now, I also want to get into what was happening for the Lightning when they had kind of their kickoff party, I guess you can call it. I can't remember the official name for it, but this took place a couple days after Media Day, which we'll get into here momentarily as well. But the Lightning made some interesting announcements at this whole party that they had in this, with the season ticket holders.
Party with one a purpose.
What's that?
Party with a purpose.
Party with a purpose. We'll get to the jersey ads here later in the episode. We're saving that one because I've got a lot to say about it, and it's going to be a fun conversation. But anyway, one of the things that they announced was some of the renovations happening here outside of Amalie Arena. And one of them is, as you can see right down below here, is the new media boards that they're putting out. The construction's already happening outside right now, and they're going to be digital media board. So no more banners. That actually, if you look at this, it's a 3D image. They're going to have like 3D stuff apparently popping out when you're walking up to the arena. And this is right on the corner on the left side if you're facing the front of the stadium. There's also a bunch of new digital ad boards going around the front of the stadium just at the bottom. You can't really see it in these pictures, but if you go back and watch some of the videos that the Lightning were playing at their event, which you can find on Twitter, you can see the digital ad boards out in there. So a bunch of cool new things with the digital ad boards. I'm excited about this, guys. I think it's going to be a cool new addition to the stadium. Some of the renderings look a little weird, but renderings are renderings. In person, I think this will look great. And I mean, honestly, it's a no-brainer for the Lightning. You have to put new banners up every single year. Now you can throw whatever you want up there. Guy gets traded, boom, new players up there. Guy moves to a different position or wears a different number, boom, you can change that. So I'm excited to see what they do with all this. I think it could be a fun addition to really liven up the front of Amalie Arena.
I think it's wicked cool. Not that, you know, Amalie Arena needs a whole lot to really, you know, spice it up or anything. It already is a very beautiful arena, like outside. Thunder Alley is really well put together. I haven't been to many other arenas, you know, in the world, but I'd say that Thunder Alley really is top notch. And this just makes it all that much better. And with the 3D effects, that's a really super cool thing to do as well. If it, you know, performs nicely, who knows if it will. These are just renderings, right, Jake? These aren't actual pictures. It's correct. Not done those, yet, obviously.
Those are just renderings. They were, when I was at Amalie for Media Day, they were starting to put up the actual board, but still very early in the process. I'm assuming it's going to be done for the it'll definitely be done for the regular season. I don't know how far along they've been. I haven't been back recently, but I imagine it's going to be done relatively soon.
Regardless, like we've probably all seen, you know, the videos. I think they have one in Times Square. There's one in London or something with the big 3D effects on them. I've only seen videos of them. I haven't seen them, you know, in real life, but they look pretty hyper realistic. They look really cool. So to have that out front of, you know, Amalie Arena, I think that'll be a really, really cool addition. I'm kind of confused on where they will be. Or will this be on the arena itself?
Yes. So do you know, so if you're looking at the stadium, right, when you're walking up to the entrance and the left side, you can kind of see where the glass is. That's where the, you know, that's the very front of the stadium on the left side, where you're walking up, where the Dave Andrew Truck statue is, where the big kind of the left of where the concert stage is set up, that's where it's going. I will say when we were putting up the, when I saw the construction there, I didn't see, and again, it was very early in the construction process, there was only stuff on that left front wall. Apparently, it's going to wrap around all the way in the corner, as you can see in this picture. So, again, I don't know how much more construction there is, but yeah, it looks like it's on that left. It's on that left side, and it looks like it's going to go all the round, all the way around the corner.
So, is it also going to be eventually, maybe not this year, but like also on the right, and then they put like, I'm pretty sure they put like posters and stuff on the parking garage as well.
There is a digital board on the right side as well. Smaller, that one does, to my understanding, does not wrap around all the way the corner. That one's just, you know, just on that front wall. The stuff on the parking garage, that's all staying the same. That's painted on, I think it is, and it's like a wallpaper, I think. There's no boards behind there that I've seen. And when I was there for the construction, I didn't see anything new. So the digital boards are all straight on Amalie Arena. By the way, we have a comment here. From Daniel, he says, what about if the ads are on the new board? Yes, you know what? That's where ads belong. I'm totally okay with that. Throw all the ads you want up there. That's totally fine. That's where ads belong, not on the front of jerseys. We'll get to that here momentarily. Michael?
I think it could be pretty cool. I made this joke to Jake already, but I imagine myself kind of like driving through downtown Tampa, and all of a sudden there's this like thing that comes at me from the digital wall. I get into an accident. Like, that is what I'm concerned about.
I'm assuming it's not going to be that big where hopefully you're paying attention to the road and not looking.
But you see the outline. There's a glove coming out of the...
I think the renderings are a little ambitious of what it's actually going to look like. I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. Like you were kind of saying, Matt.
Driving down channel side and dodging a puck or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know how that's all going to look. Just pay attention to the road when you're going down that side before you get excited. Yeah. It should be really cool, though. It's a fun new addition. Jeff Finnick and the entire Lightning organization have always done a really good job at staying ahead of the curve, and the renovations they've done to that place is absolutely amazing. The Rays obviously have needed a new stadium for a long, long time. The Bucks stadium's even getting really old at this point, and they're probably due for a new stadium. Amalie can stay around for a while because Jeff Finnick continues to renovate, put in amazing things, and it's continues to be one of the top arenas in the NHL. And I don't think that's biased to me to say, yeah, it's not new, brand spanking new like, you know, T-Mobile Arena is, but it's still such a nice stadium, and I'm excited to see what they do here. I think this is a really nice upgrade and it is a win for the team. No question about it.
That is a really good point, Jake, you know, bringing up, you know, how they do stay ahead of the renovations, whereas, you know, there's a number of other NHL teams that have, I'm not going to call them run down, but really outdated stadiums. You know, the first one that comes to mind is Calgary and the Saddle Dome. It is an iconic stadium. It's an Olympic stadium, but boy, I mean, like the place looks like it's about to implode on itself. Amalie Arena, it's a beautiful stadium architectural wise. A lot of people, you know, give it, you know, credit where it's due. And again, the outside and all the surrounding areas really complement the stadium really well. It's in a great location. Like, it's not, I'm not going to call it old, but it's definitely not state of the art either. So to stay on top and stay ahead and keep renovations, you know, putting money into the arena to keep it relevant and nice, like it, you know, when inevitably the day comes when we need a new arena, I mean, that location is perfect. Yeah, it kind of sucks getting there at certain times of the day, but it's going to be difficult to maybe even relocate for a year or something like that. Whatever it might be when the time comes to build a new arena, it's going to suck. So whatever we can do to stave off, you know, having to build a new arena and just keep Amalie Arena, you know, up to code and beyond that, making it a nice, you know, viewing experience, not even for just hockey fans, but for concerts and other things that use the venue as well. Whoever owns the building, I'm not sure how it works, but whoever is in charge of these renovations is doing a great job staying ahead of them.
Speaking of holding things off until you can't anymore, should we get started on that right now, Jake? Or
not quite. There's a couple other things I want to get to before. They did announce the ads during this event as well, but Hedman came out and spoke to the fans as he's the new official captain. So formally introduced to the fans, it was announced during Media Day. But I do want to get to and talk a little bit about Hedman's finish for Media Day. I got to be there for the first time in person. It was a lot of fun, really cool. We got to talk to a lot of awesome people as well. But there were some interesting themes to me as well throughout Media Day. Basically, it was a very small thing. It was held in the Ashley VIP lounge. And they had a couple players come out. We had, see if I can remember them all. It was Gensel, Kucherov, Hedman, McDonough, Point. And I believe that is everyone, if I hit them all correctly. So pretty big names that we got to come out and talk to. Gensel was the first guy that came out, which was pretty cool. He was probably my favorite person that came out. You know, it seemed like he really is already in fitting in and feeling good, ready to go here for this upcoming season. So, you know, always excited when you got a new guy in there, a new big superstar like Gensel. So excited to see what he can do. Point was probably the best well-spoken person, if I'm being honest here. I liked a lot of what he had to say, just talking about how, you know, things are going to be different without Steven Stamkos. They're going to have to step up, but this team's ready to go. And it's a very different looking team, but they're excited for this year. And of course, got to talk to Hedman and JBB as – oh, JBB was the other person, not a player, but the GM.
I think you missed Vasilevsky as well.
Yes, I did miss Vasilevsky as well. He was there. So a lot of the big-name superstars were out talking to us, which was really cool. I'll tell you guys this, and then I'll let you guys – if you got any questions, let me know too. But the two biggest themes that I found during the event were, one, a lot of them all said, this is a very different-looking team. And I think that's referring to both – Steven Stamkos isn't here anymore. That's a big change. And then number two, that this, you know, it's different looking team, but they're also very excited and ready to go for this season. So things are going to be different, but they feel good. They feel ready to go, and they feel like they've got a very talented group there, which makes sense.
So my first question to you, Jake, is did you like, I'm assuming this wasn't open to the public. So did you get like a press pass?
Yes, we did. We did. They were kind enough to give us some credentials, and we got to go in there as media.
That's really cool. Congratulations, Jake. That's not easy to come by. No, I mean, I'm not going to say nothing stuck out to me or anything. You know, Media Day is always kind of, you know, the same thing, like, oh yeah, we're ready and excited for the season. Hopefully we're going to play well, but there is a, you know, different feeling in the air this year with, you know, your captain of 15 years, you know, departing the franchise in kind of a, you know, disgraceful way. But, you know, it is good, reassuring to hear these guys are, you know, not letting it weigh them down and, you know, supporting their new captain, Victor Hedman. Congratulations to him. Nobody on this team is more deserving than him. So it's really cool. Hopefully the guys can, I'm not going to say can rally behind Victor Hedman. That's really easy to do. I'm sure he could, you know, make me run through a wall for him. But again, Media Day is just Media Day. You know, I didn't get to watch many of the videos. I got to see the, you know, Kucherov's presser, if you will, you know, how soft-spoken and, you know, unenthusiastic he is, just kind of saying the same things over and over. But you said Braden Point was really well-spoken, Jake. Is there anything that he said that, you know, really resonated with you or stuck out that wasn't just generic hockey jargon?
You know, you still get a lot of that even with the best of the well-spoken players because that's just the way things are when it comes to that kind of Media Day stuff. He talked about the power play and, you know, how that's going to look different with Steven Stamkos. And he talked about how, like, that's something they've been working on early on here. They're going to get a lot of different looks when it comes to the preseason. They're going to try different things out. It just really felt like, you know, he was like, listen, things are going to be different. We know that. And there's going to be a lot of work to do throughout this preseason. That's what we're going to do. We're going to experiment with it. We're going to work on it. And we're going to find the best way to do it. That was kind of a small glimpse of what I saw and just what he was saying to me felt very consistent, and you know, he wasn't down or, you know, all over the place. It was a good press conference.
And a follow up. Sorry, Mike. I'll let you get to this. Was Braden Point wearing Crocs?
You know, that's a very important question. No, I believe he was wearing flip flop. He's behind the podium. I couldn't quite see what he was exactly wearing, but I believe he was wearing flip flops when I saw him walking away.
What a Florida man.
So you talk about like Braden Point being like the most well-spoken of them. And a lot of the stuff that we don't really account for in the leadership is not only like talking to the guys, but also like talking to the refs. Are you surprised that like Point didn't get a letter this year?
Not really.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but Kucherov and McDonough are the ones that got the A's for the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
And McDonough, he's a veteran guy. He's been here before. I can see him being a leader. And Kucherov, even though he's not the most well-spoken by, which, Matt, I have a funny story about the Kucherov, as you kind of mentioned there. But, you know, it seems like he is a leader in that locker room. He helps guys all the time and teaching them stuff. So it doesn't surprise me too much. To be honest, I really didn't expect for Point to be the most well-spoken person there. But he was, you know, I think that just speaks to how many leaders the Lightning do have on their roster. There's a lot of guys that could probably wear the A, heck, even the C on this team. But you know, it was good to see how good he was, but it doesn't surprise me he didn't get the A. He's definitely a good candidate, but you know, listen, McDonough and Kucherov, I think those are guys that are very well deserved of it.
And my two cents is McDonough, he's already been a captain for the Rangers, you know, way back when. So he has that, you know, leadership quality, like and we know it, we've seen it before. For how long is he on the team? 4 or 5 years before coming back. We know he's, you know, a strong guy in the locker room. He plays well on the ice. Like, he's got it all. He is a leader. And Kucherov, we've seen it develop over the years where, you know, it used to be temper tantrums and, you know, just you can tell a lot, you know, how he's feeling in his body language. But, you know, number one, he leads with his play. He's arguably, you know, one of the best players in the world. He's the best player in the Eastern Conference. I'll die on that hill. But we've seen him grow as a person. Like, he's getting, you know, I don't know if he's getting mic'd up more, if he's actually just talking more on the ice, but there were a couple of clips last season where you can hear him, you know, talking with the guys, you know, on the bench or on the ice. And it's not just, you know, whatever, like he's actually being, you know, a motivator, you know, a bit of a confidence booster. He's not afraid to, you know, give it to the refs or, you know, even just casually talk to the refs. And that's a big, you know, factor of being a captain or an alternate captain is, you know, being able to, you know, have and maintain a relationship with the referees, you know, linesmen or the officials. And again, he's a locker room guy. One thing we kind of all know with these Russians, you know, I guess I'm lumping Sergey into it too, but even though they're quiet, you know, in front of microphones and interviews, like Kucherov never does interviews. They're, you know, glue guys in the locker room. Yeah, they might be a little secular. The Russians hang out with the Russians, the Canadians hang out with the Canadians, whatever it might be. But there's a lot we don't see behind closed doors. And I don't think anybody's complaining or whining that, you know, Cooch got an A and Point did it or didn't or anything like that. I think his leadership qualities have greatly emerged over the last couple of years. I'll say in this post cup run window, which, you know, there's still time for another cup, but in the, you know, since, you know, 2022, let's say, I've seen a massive increase, and it's not even just with his, you know, off ice, mannerisms and everything. We've seen, you know, a bump in his play, of course, offensively, but defensively too. He's not quite a defensive black hole anymore. He really is leading with his play as well in more than just the offensive category. That was long-winded.
I think the main, it's not even like a criticism of like, oh, one of them got a letter over the other one. They've had a thing, and maybe it's just me with a Mandela effect of like over the past couple of years, maybe not so much, but I always feel them having a rotating cast of A's, whether it's Hedman, whether it's McDonough, whether it's Sorelli, I remember wearing an A, Killorn. Like, it feels weird that they have two permanent assistant captains this year, but I'm all for it. I think that could actually build out well. for the team.
They have done that recently where they've rotated a little bit in different A's.
Was it the Lightning or maybe a different team? I'm pretty sure it was the Lightning where like they'd have different away cap like alternates and home alternates.
There are
captains.
No other teams other than the Lightning. So
that's correct. But there are some obscure guys like Strawman, I think, wore a number, you know, at a certain point. He wasn't a bad player or anything, but it was weird, you know, giving him an A. I wouldn't doubt if like Pat Maroon wore a letter at one time. You know, he's John Cooper's, you know, I don't even know what you'd call him, but him and Coop, you know, they were just tied at the hip together. It's not, you know, just an on ice thing, but I don't know. Did we alternate the captains last year?
I don't remember.
If I remember correctly, there were some change, and you know, also with injuries and stuff that can also change. I can't exactly remember all the assistant captains last year. There's a lot of games. But I do believe they moved them around. I don't think it was as much as they did maybe in years past, but I do believe they changed it once or twice on who wore the A. But officially announced as Kucherov and McDonough this year. By the way, Matt, with Kucherov, so they brought him out, and I was surprised that he came out to do media day. This is a guy that normally does not do media, as we kind of talked about here. But they brought him out, and this is how you know that he's not a big media guy. Nobody asked him a question to start. Like, it was a good, I don't know, 30 seconds, which felt like 2 minutes, where and normally the veterans, the people have been there before doing that media, they were right, you know, ready to jump in right away, but nobody was asking Kucherov a question. And me being the new guy and still, you know, a little nervous and I've never done this before, I was like, all right, I'm going to go for it. So I tried to ask Kucherov a question, and essentially I asked him, you know, after such a big year last year, what are, how do you have a better, even better year this year? I said, specifically said outlook. Kucherov did not understand what I was trying to say. And he asked me what I meant by outlook. And I was like, oh no, this is not good. And then he gave his classic answer of play good, make playoffs, win cup. And I said, fair enough. There you go. And people really did enjoy that quote from Kucherov, because that's classic Kucherov. That's what we've come to know and love.
People ran away with that comment by our very own, by TBR's very own Jake Recker asking the question. Everybody was like, oh, this is great. And of course, you were the first one to ask a question, because everybody else was like, we're probably going to get the same answer too. So.
Yeah, I had to get that response out of the way. Then everybody else went, but it listen, it's Kucherov. It's fun. It's you know, it's what you expect of him, and it is fun. Comment here from Daniel, by the way, saying Tampa has done both of those things in talking about the changing of the captaincy and all that. Don't think they will with a first time captain. Stability with two set A's is smart, with this being Hedy's first year as captain. Yeah, absolutely. That 100% makes sense. Thank you for confirming too on the rotating A's. I know I was pretty sure that they did do that, but yeah, the first time captain, don't want to be throwing things a curveball with him. He does have a lot of experience though, you know, being a good friend with Steven Stamkos and him being the captain a long time. So I think he's ready.
So I saw the video you guys posted, or maybe you sent it, of you getting to ask Julian Brisebois a question. Was that the only question you got to ask all day? Was that the only question you were allowed to ask, or were you nervous? You know, what was it? I'm really excited for you, Jake. I'm not poking fun at you, but
I appreciate really it. Cool. Yeah. So I asked Kucherov that question, and I asked JBB that question. So I asked two questions for the whole thing. Okay. The JBB and Hedman interviews were a lot quicker. Those they live streamed on YouTube. You could still go find them, and they were passing around a microphone, so it was a little bit easier to get your question in when you wanted it. But yeah, I did and talked to JBB about the young guys and who he thought could step up. He gave me a classic GM answer where he really didn't say anybody that he thought could jump up. He did mention something which I thought was interesting. He said that he thought this was one of the more deeper groups of young players that could potentially jump up and make an impact. We talked about on this show a couple episodes ago how, you know, the Lightning don't have a ton of draft picks. They're ranked very low when it comes to their prospect pool. But JBB and the rest of the staff seem to think that they've got a really good group of young players, and there's a lot of different guys that make an impact for the Lightning potentially this season. So I thought that was interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Well, and he also brought up the – injuries. So I don't know if we want to get into that right now, but the young guys could potentially take over because of the injuries.
Yeah, there were a couple of injuries. He listed off a whole bunch. Some of them were more minor guys, not minor meaning, you know, they're going to be being the minors. But the two biggest were Isamont, who is not coming back until he said about mid-October. So he's going to miss the start of the season. And then Glenn Denning, he is also injured. They hope he's going to be ready for game one, but he's doing training camp all with a red no contact jersey. So he is expected to be good to go. We'll see how that plays out. So there are a couple injuries that guys could potentially come in and take those roster spots.
Which, you know, I'm glad to see that there are, you know, at least briefly roster spots available. But, you know, if you're going to be relegated to the fourth line, how much is Connor Geeky or Groshev or whoever going to bring on the fourth line? That's always kind of the tricky thing to do with, you know, lower level prospects, you know, not like a Connor Bedard or anything like that, like extremely high, you know, blue chip prospects. And I'm not talking bad about these guys or anything, but there's only so much you can really do as a young skill guy on the fourth line playing with, who would it be, Mitchell Chafee or something like that, even though I really do love Mitchell Chafee. I think he's a great goal scorer. So it's a good thing and a bad thing as well, unless they really do some shuffling, because that's, you know, two, you know, a third and a fourth line guy in Isamont and Glenn Denning. I guess, you know, a center position available with Glenn Denning being out, one of the best faceoff guys in the league. So you might see a guy like Geeky, you know, slide in there, which I'd be all for. But again, just being, you know, a fourth line gap filler can sometimes not hurt your development, but, you know, you can't make that impact right away. But I know every rookie has to earn their stripes. You're not going to be a second line player, you know, right out of the gates or anything. So that's the only concern that I really have with these injuries. But I'm more overly optimistic with, you know, young guys being able to get some playing time, albeit brief. It's still playing time in the show.
Well, it's funny you mention that because the lines that they ran yesterday, Geeky and Groshev were on the fourth line.
That's a combination I like.
It was all the regulars, and then there was excuse me, and then it was Gergensen's, Geeky and Groshev. So they're basically running the 3G line without Geeky and also line. Another person that is going with the regulars is Logan Brown, who they signed last year. Got hurt in preseason, did not play the entire year, and then they re-signed up to a one-year, two-way deal. It'd be very interesting to see if Brown makes the lineup. He's also only 26, but he has like 200 games of NHL experience. So if you want someone like Geeky and Groshev to take a little bit more time in the minors, I think Logan Brown could be a pretty interesting guy to have on the main roster for a little bit, at least until Isamont and Glenn Denning are ready to go.
I always forget about Logan Brown. Did he actually get signed to a deal? He got signed to a PTO, right?
Oh, PTO. You're right. That's my fault. He signed the 1 year deal last year.
Mm-hmm. They should and have PTO. He didn't it's even make it past.
Cap friendly. We just don't know anymore.
Yeah. This will be a tough season to learn to live without cap friendly. But Logan Brown is somebody who I think could slot in nicely on a fourth line, you know, even if it might be brief, even if he might be, you know, an AHL kind of guy. He's what, like 6'5" or something like that?
I don't know if
he's much of a, you know, banging and crasher kind of guy, but, you know, a big frame like that. And he can also move pretty good. And he's got a cannon of a shot as well. So I've liked Logan Brown a lot. It sucks we really haven't been able to see him play, but he does have NHL experience. He's just been hampered by injuries, you know, a lot of his career, and even the teams that he was on is St. Louis and Ottawa, I think. St. Louis, you know, they were kind of up and down, and Ottawa was just down when he was on their teams. So, you know, he does have that first round pedigree still with him. He probably won't live up to that 10th or 11th overall selection he was selected at, but still a good serviceable replacement level player that hopefully gets signed to, you know, a two-way deal or something.
He is 6'6", 227.
That's like my usual
this
build.
Guy on the fourth line. Oh my lord!
You know, Lightning have a little more cap flexibility than they normally do. They don't have a lot, but a little more than normal. And you could maybe keep a couple of guys, especially early on in the season, if you are dealing with injuries. So it'll be interesting to see. And we'll learn a lot more as preseason continues to roll on here. Who really steps up? Who looks like they're going to make that opening night roster? One more thing for media day, I want to mention, because we talked about it here on the show with you, Matt, Michael, you weren't on for this one, but we talked about how we thought it was a little weird that the Lightning took a little while to announce the Victor Hedman captaincy. You know, kind of expected that to be a no-brainer and happen right away. JBB did talk about that, and basically he mentioned how him and Coop met, and they both, you know, were 99% sure that Hedman was the right choice, but they wanted to do their due diligence, which, you know, totally understandable. And what they ended up doing is they went, Cooper went to all the players and had them vote on who they thought should be the next captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning, which I think is a great idea. I love that your players are going to choose, and everybody picked Victor Hedman. So that says more about your team and the chemistry that these guys have and the friendships, and that they really believe Hedman is the next true leader. So that's kind of why I think it took a little bit longer than normal, because, you know, obviously Coop's got to go to the players, he's got to get them to vote, talk to them all, blah, blah, blah. But I was very happy with that answer, because I was like, you know, for a while I was like, it's really weird they haven't announced it. Even the way they announced it actually was kind of weird. It just kind of got posted. We were there at media day just waiting around, and like, it wasn't like, oh, we have a press conference coming up, big announcement at 1 o'clock, and then it's like, hey, next captain of Lightning, Victor Hedman. It wasn't like that. They just kind of announced it, and then we luckily got Hedman during media day and got time to ask him questions about that. But again, I like that answer from JBB. I thought that was a good way to go about it.
That's wicked. I didn't know, you know, they put it up to a vote or something like that. I wonder if other teams or clubs have done that before. I'm sure probably they have, but that's maybe really cool. Are we, you know, it was a unanimous vote?
Yes, that's what JBB said.
That's so you're great. Telling That's me Hedman voted for himself.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that was included in it, but as far as I know, yes.
I wonder what the vote would have been if Bogo was still on the team. That's, you know, problem for a different day. overwhelming majority. No, that's actually really cool. Like, he probably saw, I couldn't really contain my disbelief and excitement about that. I think that's really cool that, you know, Cooper and JBB, you know, put it up to a vote, let it, you know, be in the hands of the players. You know, I'm not shocked at all that it was a unanimous vote. Again, it's the right choice. You know, everybody, even fans of other teams, are saying it's got to be Hedy. It will be Hedy. So that is just uber, uber cool to hear that and to know that it got put up to a vote and was unanimous.
Yeah, I think it was the right move by the Lightning, and happy to see that. So thought I would share that as well, as it was announced during media day. All right. It's time to talk about the elephant in the room. So as we all know, everybody knows I don't like jersey ads. They've been popping up all around the NHL, slowly going. And we've talked about it here on this show before, that it's expected that this was going to come at some point, right? I didn't think it was going to be this soon. I was not ready for it to happen this year. But the Lightning did officially announce that they have new ad patches. Now, it's not called an ad. It's called a patch with a purpose. And the two there, as you can see just below me, it's the YMCA and Advent Health. YMCA is on the home jerseys and the black jerseys as well, the third jerseys, and Advent Health is on the away jerseys. I will say this, you guys know this, one of my big things with ads was like, at least make it the same color. They did do that, so that was good. It's huge and very, very big. You know, so the picture they posted of Victor Hedman, wow, with the captaincy, you know, I made the joke earlier, but, you know, Hedman really wears the Y well, because it draws your attention right there. But at least it's the same color scheme. I'm going to let you guys talk all about it. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let me give a couple outlines on what everything that is happening, and I'll let you guys go, and then I'll go on my little tangent here. But basically, the patch with a purpose, the Lightning donated $1 million to local charities and or local YMCA stuff and Advent Health stuff to the community, which is a great thing. I absolutely love that. Please don't get it twisted. Like, that's Lightning have always been really good at working with their community. So that's what the patch with a purpose is. They donated $1 million, fully funded by the Lightning. So this is not coming from like sales or revenue or anything like that. It's just a one-time donation the Lightning made. So that's what the patch for the purpose is. If you're wondering how purchasing jerseys is going to work, all the jerseys in the stadium have ads on them. If you, for some reason, wanted to put an ad on your jersey that you already have, you can bring it into the store. They will put an ad on your jersey free of charge. I don't know why you would want to do that, but you can if you really wanted to do it.
So dumb.
Yeah, so all the jerseys in the arena will have ads, which is the same thing the Nashville Predators did as well. When I remember we talked about it here, I went to their arena and they had ads on their jerseys in the store. You can still buy jerseys without ads on them online. If you just go on the NHL website right now, there's no ads on those jerseys. So you can still buy them without ads. You can't do it in store. Why? I don't know. But that's just the way it is. So that's the basics of the jerseys there. As we also know, we have all the different styles of jerseys with Fanatics this year in the I forget what they're calling it, like the Ultimate Premium one, the On-Ice one, and then the Fanatics version, and then the practice jersey. So there's the four different levels. In stadium, though, all will come with ads on the jersey. So if you want to purchase it without an ad, you have to go and do it online. I will say this, too. The pictures that we saw online, I have not got my hands on a Fanatic jersey yet. I want to go to the arena and check them out for myself. But the quality didn't look great. And I don't know if it was just the lighting or the way the pictures were. And you guys can talk on this too. But I thought the pictures looked a little funky. And I'm concerned about the quality of these jerseys. Even the patches, you know, I thought like it looked like it was almost peeling up a little bit on the jersey. So I'm a little concerned about the quality of these things. Again, I got to see them in person, but I don't know. Guys, take it away. What are your thoughts here on the ad, or patch with the purpose? Sorry, not an ad, patch with the purpose.
So I'm feeling a little bit better about it. My first thoughts were, you know, great. The colors match. It definitely stands out a bit, but at least it's not like, you know, the Penguins Highmark, you know, bright baby blue patch on the black and yellow jerseys. That is an eyesore, straight up eyesore. These, they go well. You know, in a perfect world, we would have no ads anywhere on the jerseys. You can relegate that to the boards and everywhere else in the world, but we don't live in a perfect world. I'm glad it took this long to really get to this point. And when you were saying, you know, learning the lore behind the patch with the purpose name, you know, actually, you know, going out and donating, what, $1 million to each of these foundations. It's like when I'm comparing it to, let's say, you know, Edmonton and Calgary, both of them have, you know, gambling ads on them. I think there's a couple other, teams that have gambling ads on, you know, right there on the crest. I'm not going to say I'm not, you know, a degenerate myself occasionally, but, you know, to go ahead and advertise for, you know, I'll call them, you know, beneficial organizations, companies, whatever you want to call the Y and Advent Health. It's better than gambling ads or, you know, Marlboro or something like that. So I'm a little bit less disappointed, if you will, with who they actually chose. And then again, with the actual aesthetics of the jersey, it matching the blue on the white jerseys, the white on the blue jerseys, it looks well. Yes, the Y logo is huge, but I think eventually I'll be able to get over it. So
look at that. I mean, look at Edmund. It's so noticeable.
It is. But Jake, it could be worse. It really could be worse. Young man, there's no need to feel down.
I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground.
That's about all I had. Michael, you want to go on your tirade before Jake?
I don't like it. I want to be very clear. I don't like that there are patches on the jersey. If you can go to a third party website, get another jersey, like without a patch on it. But like Matt laid it all out, like this could be way worse than it ended up being. Yeah. Look at that.
Milk and Oreo and try, which by the way is hilarious that it's milk. It is. And that the Oreo on the helmet ad, I'm actually that's hilarious. So
it could be way worse. I actually think that for some reason, if we could pull the stuff back up, if we could pull the ads back up real quick, I think the white one actually blends in more on the, like, the blue one on the white jersey than the other way around.
It does.
It's very weird. I don't know why that is.
I think it's because it's smaller text. Like, it's the Y is just so big. Like, you know, a C for the captaincy or an A, like, you know, that's noticeable. It's a big letter. And that's what the YMCA is, just a big Y one.
When the Lightning make the Stanley Cup Finals, where is the jersey patch or the Stanley Cup Finals patch going to be?
That's a good question. I don't know. Have we had a team in the Stanley Cup Finals yet that's had a jersey ad?
I'm pretty sure the Panthers and Vegas have had them.
Panthers.
Somebody look it up quick, because I don't remember off the top of my head. I think though they had kind of small. You know what? Vegas definitely does. If you can try and pull it up quick and talk. But yeah, I think. What did it? So, I don't know where those, because those. You know, if you have a smaller ad, you can kind of fit the patch like right underneath it. But those are big ads. Like, you're not going to put a patch over there.
Well, that's the thing. Let's say if you're Brandon Hagel, I'm just pulling a name out there. You just put the Stanley Cup patch on the other side. But if you're Victor Hedman, you're the captain of the team. There's a C right there.
Right.
You can't do anything.
Imagine, you know, you're Victor Hedman. Your team makes it to the Stanley Cup Finals. During, let's say, our 50th anniversary year, he won't be playing by then, but hypothetical, during our 50th anniversary,
yeah, where does that also go?
Tampa happens to be hosting the All-Star game that year. What does that look like? You got, your C jersey ad, Stanley Cup Finals patch, All-Star patch. Like,
they start to look like the Joker jerseys over in SM Liga, where you just got ads all over the place.
Horrible. I'm really curious to see, like, what a team would do during, you know, an anniversary All-Star Stanley Cup final year. That'd be crazy.
Daniel says Ford didn't have ads on the jersey. That's right, because this is still very recent. Can teams not wear ads in the playoffs? I'm pretty sure they can. I don't remember any rule being said about that.
We're getting a note that said the cat patch would go with where the C is, and the C would shift over. That also sounds very ugly.
You know, I'm going to have to do some research after this because it's hard to do while we're on air. But I don't think there's been a team in the finals yet that's had an ad. So I don't think we've run into this problem yet, if I'm not mistaken. We'll do some more research. And when
Eureka's saying both teams had them last year.
Both teams had them last year. And last year was
this past season.
And I don't remember. Now, granted, I didn't watch a ton of the Stanley Cup final because I was still being a curmudgeon old person, but I don't remember jersey.
Oh no. I just found a picture and this sucks.
Can you send it in Discord so we can talk about it?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. And how the Lightning are going to – maybe every team does it different too. I don't know what the official rules are on this. This is very new. All right, we just got a picture here.
Oh yeah.
So with the C, if you're a captain, the C is right next to the patch. And the – I don't see an ad for
no,
Florida.
No, that's not the right one. I have another picture for you.
There is a picture for the Florida Panthers last year where the C is right next to the Stanley Cup playoff patch.
Look at Alexander Barkov. He's right in the middle.
Oh, God, that's so busy.
Yeah, so, okay, so there's your answer. Sorry for folks, you guys can't see it. But basically,
Ad on the left,
C on the right, and then the Stanley Cup patch is crammed right up against the C. So
weird
that's
ad.
More than likely what they'll do there, but –
Jake, we got a comment.
Yeah, the alternate patches when multiple things go on. Wasn't it the 20-year reunion as well? All-Star in Tampa.
25.
Yeah. So things will get a little crowded on the jerseys. I don't know exactly how they'll play it all. Every team, I'm sure, will be different. I don't know what the Lightning will do when that time comes, but
no, it's time. It's time. Jake Ricker, take it away, please.
So listen, everybody knows that I'm a very big opponent against ads. I don't like them. I understand, you know, a lot of people say it's not that big of a deal. It's just a little ad, but it's becoming worse and worse. Originally, it was just Oh, there's some ads in the corner of the ice. It's no big deal. Oh, there's just some ads on the boards. Oh, there's just some digital ads on the broadcast now. Oh, it's just ads on the helmets. Oh, it's just ads on the jersey. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And to me, it worsens the product. Now, the ad on a jersey doesn't really affect the watching the game. But, you know, for fans that like to buy jerseys, and yes, you can go buy a jersey without an ad online. But if you wanted to go in the store and buy a jersey, but you got to be a walking billboard, which I am very against. You know, the NFL always talks about how, granted, the NFL makes a lot more money than the NHL does, but they talk about how, like, they're not putting ads on their field or their jerseys because it's a sacred spot. This is where, you know, like, I wear my Stanley Cup playoffs polo, which I love, like, because I wear this because it represents the team. I'm not throwing a YMCA logo on here because it's the jersey is supposed to represent the team. It's supposed to represent what the organization is. And the Matt, you mentioned how, you know, you felt a little bit better. Like, this was kind of a better case scenario, which a lot of people said. Here's my issue with it. The Lightning are calling this a patch with a purpose. It's not. The patch with a purpose and the donation, they're completely separate. The donation has nothing to do with the ad. I guarantee, they did not release any statements on how much money the Lightning are getting from these advertisements. We don't know that. I can guarantee you it's a lot more than $1 million. So they're still making a ton of money on this. They're throwing the donation to say, hey, look at us. Look at this good that we're doing. You know what actually be doing good, a patch with a purpose? Hey, every jersey that we sell, 10% of that gets donated to the YMC or Advent Health. That's a patch with a purpose. This is just a PR move to make themselves look like the good guy. And I can't stand these hype videos that teams keep releasing and say it's woven into our fabric and part of the community. No, it's an ad. You're trying to hide the fact that this is an ad to make money. And yes, it's great that the league is getting more revenue, but I haven't seen anything where the teams have been taking this money that they're making and actually improving the league. There are so many better ways to improve the league. Half the time we have a outdoor game, nobody knows about it. There's no promotion. There's no nothing. There's so many other bigger issues that could be worked on. So many other places you can put ads and actually increase your revenue and make your league better. Advertisement is not the answer. And what's the end game here? It just keeps getting worse and worse every year. But the biggest part that irked me is kind of what you talked about, Matt. They're calling this a patch with a purpose. It's not. All it is, if you read the Lightning statement, they mentioned the donation is funded by them. And the real goal is that, it'll get all this TV time and people will see it everywhere. And we encourage people to go donate and volunteer their time. That's great. But that's not a true patch with a purpose. You're asking people to go do this and donate their own money. But let me go put an ad on my jersey, but part of that money goes and gets donated to it. It annoys me. Don't hide the fact that it's an ad. If you're going to put an ad on your jersey, call it what it is and don't lie about it. The donation's great. I don't want to get that twisted. It's fantastic, but it looks terrible. It's huge. You're lying about what it actually it is, and it's not helping the league to me in any way that I've noticed. The league continues to have the same problems that it's always had and actually improving the league. Where is this money going? I don't know. I hate ads. They don't look good. I can tell you right now, I will not be purchasing a jersey with an ad on it. And if the quality is as bad as it looks from the things that I've seen online, and again, I haven't had a jersey in my hands, I will not purchase another Lightning jersey. I won't. I love this team. I'm a crazy, I got like 20 jerseys in my closet over there of Tampa Bay Lightning stuff. I love buying the new jerseys, but I'm curious to know what sales would be for jerseys in the stadium. I think they'll go down. I think there's a lot of people. I think most people agree that they don't like ads. No, most other people have more understanding than I am. They're like, okay, whatever it is, it is. But long tangent over. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. It's not helping the game in any opinion, and they're lying about what it is.
I can't believe I fell for the Vinix Sports Group PSYOP. No, Jake, you know, I was kind of half expecting you to say, you know, just come out here and just not whine, but like just kind of the generic, you know, it's ugly, boohoo, whatever. But no, you actually did kind of, you know, dig deep and definitely swayed my opinion on it. I was, you know, 15 minutes ago just saying like, oh, it's actually pretty cool that, you know, they donated, blah, 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 blah. But the way you did put it, you articulated it really well, that it's not a patch with a purpose. You're still benefiting from, you know, these ads more than, you know, anybody else is going to benefit from having the ad on here. It strictly, you know, strictly is just a cash grab. You know, I'm not going to justify it by saying every other NHL team does it. But no, you did lay out the facts really well, how, you know, they kind of are gaslighting you into thinking that this is a good thing. Look at us. We're the good guys. Again, it could be worse, but the way you're
great, there's nothing like, and like, there's nothing wrong with that. But why are we saying that it's a patch with a purpose when the ad has nothing to do with the donation?
And now I'm also thinking too, like, so the YMCA and Advent Health paid X amount of money to get this ad spot, but you gave them X amount of money back, I guess. So it's kind of like you just sold them the ad at a discounted price. Like, you're right, just kind of, you know, exchanging money a couple different times and, mm-hmm, and different amounts. That's what's kind of losing me too. Like, it is, you talked me into it. It really is just a big old PR move.
It is. And listen, I if you said, like, they said that they would put an ad on a jersey for free, I would rather pay, you know, $20 to put a YMC ad on my jersey, but half of that gets donated. You know what? I'll probably wear one of the patches on something for a good cause like that. Like, you know, I can kind of get behind that, and it makes sense. And the league's still getting money. But that's not what's happening here.
And I think it was somebody on the show that said they should pay or like give you a discount on your jersey to have an ad on it. Like,
I believe it was Joe from
Austin. I think it was Joe.
comment here from Daniel. Did you notice the salary cap go up? Cause that was directly tied to the helmet jersey ads. Yes, the salary cap went up, and there's a lot of contributing factors to that. The Lightning, they made so much money they made more money than anybody during COVID. Because they went to the Stanley Cup Finals twice and sold all that extra merchandise. And I mean, it did take a jump, but how much and here's my point. Like, yeah, okay, it went up because of ads a little bit. But there are so many other ways to increase your league revenue without throwing ads all over the place. And I mean all over the place. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if 5 years from now we got ads on the shorts next. You know, it hasn't stopped. There's so many other ways to promote your league and increase your revenue without compromising your jersey and some of your product when it comes to the ads on the digital ad boards and the projected ads on the broadcast. Like, I'm so sick of Jersey Mike's in the middle of a zone entry. I'm so tired of that. But Daniel, yeah, you're right. The salary cap did go up, but ads aren't the only contributing factor to that. And there's so many other ways the league could be increasing their revenue, like just promoting the league. They don't promote the league nearly enough as they should. I think there's better options out there to do that than throwing these ads out there. And you know, the Lightning, I'm surprised, did it as soon as they did. They did, Matt, you're right. You know, they waited longer than most teams, but didn't expect them to do it.
So, you know what doesn't have ads on it? And that's the merch brought to you by RBLR. And Jake, where can the people find the no ad beautiful merch?
You're 100% right, Matt. Shop.rblrsports.com. And for our lovely viewers here, you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off of your order. It's not just Lightning inspired merch either. Rays, Bucks, Rowdies, all those fantastic Tampa teams inspired merch on that store. Links, as always, are in the description. Again, it's shop.rblrsports.com. And you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Listen, the season is right around the corner. It's time to gear up and get ready to go for the season. So one of the best times right now to go and gear up. But I digress. That's my opinion. You guys know I've never liked the ads from the get-go because they just don't look good. I would never buy a jersey with an ad on it. I'm not a fan of it. I don't want to purchase this is the other thing too. Like, you know, I love getting little picture frames. I've got one right over to the left of Vinny. And, you know, like, I don't want to buy this cool frame of Victor Hedman lifting the Stanley Cup and, oh, there's a big giant YMCA logo on it. It's like,
I mean,
I gotta be honest, I'm not gonna notice if there's a picture of my captain holding up a Stanley Cup. I'm not gonna notice the advertisement. That's
listen,
on the jersey.
It's big, it's very noticeable. All right, Michael, you make a good point. Yeah, you're But listen, my point is,
it's like the Y is like stapled to his forehead the way that you're talking about it. Like,
okay, well, I because it's just noticeable. My point I was trying to make is like, I don't want to get merchandise and have to look at these ads all over the place. Yeah, are Lightning going to do the YMCA dance now every time at the games? I mean,
listen, whenever Kucherov scores, he's going to take off his gloves, he's going to put his stick down, he's going to do the YMCA dance. Just for you.
You know how the Hurricanes, they do the like the skull clap at the end of the games? They're going to do the YMCA.
Hey, you know what? Might as well embrace it. We'd love to hear from everybody, though, as well. Let us know in the comments down below. Follow us at RBR Lightning, at RBLR Sports, and let us know what you guys think. Do you like it? Are you very against it like I am? Do you not like it? But, you know, it is what it is. And listen, at the end of the day, I am always a Lightning fan. I'm excited for Lightning hockey. Like, I'm not going to stop watching, but, you know, that's just my personal opinion and I'm not a big fan of it, but we are Lightning fans and I'm very excited to have hockey back. So, guys, that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much to everybody who tuned in. Thank you to Daniel, especially for dropping the comments. Really do appreciate it. I would love to hear what you guys have to think. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Really helps us out. We really do appreciate it. If you're new, we hope you enjoyed and hope you come back and join us next time. Don't forget at RBLR Sports, at RBL Lightning, so you don't miss out on future episodes just like this one. That'll do it for us today. And we'll talk to you next time. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.